So let's talk about discovering the grace of God in the New Testament. Now, there's so much to discover in the New Testament, I had to nail it down to something that I nailed it down to one scripture, and a single verse. And this verse is so perfect to define our subject. You can turn to John, the Gospel of John 1:17. It says here that for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, John 1:17, it becomes a doorway, a new life, and a new experience if you really look at this. John had a lot of years to think about his experience with Jesus in his gospel and how it reflects a very sharp understanding of the grace of God. John was fortunate. He was not martyred. All the other disciples were martyred. He lived to be probably above 90 years old. So when you read his gospel, it's a lot different than the synoptic gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's much more personal. It's much more deep in understanding about who he was, how he was God in the flesh. And I think that he had a great understanding of the grace of God. And 17 verses into the Gospel of John, he comes with this: for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So in one sentence, John shows us the difference between what God gave Moses and then what Jesus brought, Now, the law, and we know Paul says this, but we know the law was perfect, not taking parts of a machine and blessing it by a rabbi. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the law itself, getting down to what he said in the law that was perfect. It was righteous, but it could not change the heart. It could reveal sin, and that's the purpose of the law. It could reveal sin, but it could not remove it. It was powerless. You know, all the animal sacrifices in the world could not remove the guilt of sin, and surely not sin itself. But when Jesus came, something new entered the world: grace and truth. Grace and truth. Not ideas, not doctrines, a person. A person. Grace walked among us. That's what John said. Grace walked among us. Truth put on flesh. And through him, believers received not only forgiveness, but power. Power to become new, to live new lives, and to walk in the fullness of God. For the law came by Moses, or given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. We are in our series, Discovering Grace, and this is part 3 in the end of the series. Today, we're going to look at three ways grace is revealed to the believer in the New Testament. I am limited to my time, so three ways are very short-sighted compared to what the Bible brings, especially in the New Testament. So I've limited it to three. So we know that the law by Moses, grace and truth by Jesus Christ. The interesting thing is John, in 1:17, he contrasts the two. He contrasts law and grace. That's what he's contrasting. Not good versus evil. He's not talking about that. We know the law is good. But incomplete versus complete. That's the difference. The contrast is the law of Moses is incomplete. Jesus Christ makes that completion. A simple way to say it is Moses revealed the standard, Jesus supplied the power. That's how simple the difference is between the law and grace. So he says grace and truth came. You think about that. Jesus came through Jesus, meaning that it arrived, it appeared, it embodied, and it became accessible in a way that never was before Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. That's grace and truth. So we're going to look at, I mentioned three things. We're going to look at grace gives the believer a new identity. Really important to understand that. Grace gives the believer a new power. And then grace gives the believer a new way to live. Those three things. And I think they're very important. And we see it in this very verse itself. So grace gives the believer a new identity. For the law was given by Moses. The law shows us what we are of ourselves. Sinful, sinners who fall short of the glory of God, right? We all know that. But grace shows us who we are in Christ. Under the law, let me just say, you're guilty, you're condemned, you're exposed, and you're unable. That's what the law is all about. Grace, you're forgiven, you're accepted, you're adopted, and you are made new. Those are the quick comparisons there. Now, if you only hear one thing today, listen to this. Grace does not start by changing your behavior. It starts by changing your identity. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. That's in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. You know, a believer does not live toward acceptance, but he lives from acceptance. He lives from acceptance. And a believer does not strive to become a child of God. He acts like one because he is one, right? And these are things that you really need to put into your brain. Let them explode in your brain because this is what the grace of God is all about. When you look at the law, all I can see is failures. When you look at the law, you're going to see all the failures in your life. But when you look at Jesus, you're going to see who you become by the grace of God when you look toward him. Grace gives you a new name, gives you a new standing, gives you a new identity, and the more you see it, the more you begin to live from it. And I think that's the reason I wanted to bring about the discovery of grace, because the more you understand it, the further away you're going to get away from legalism in your own life. And, you know, all of us are legalistic in some way or another. So grace, it gives you what? A new name, a new standing, brand new identity. And the more you see it and understand it and discover it, the more you begin living from it. Does that make sense? So grace doesn't push you. It's an invitation. Grace invites you in. Grace opens your eyes to who you are in Christ. I think one of the most amazing things about Jesus in the desert, I don't even have these in my notes, but I just thought about it. In the desert, when he was tempted, you know what he was tempted by? His identity. Oh, if you're the Son of God, do this. If you're the Son of God, do that. And, you know, that's how the devil gets into our minds, is that when he begins to say, you're not a Christian, you're not identified as a Christian. But it's so important to understand that grace itself makes and gives you that brand new identity. That we were able to stop living under the law or defining yourself by failures and regrets. I have failures and regrets in my life, and a lot of times when I'm going through trials, that pops up a lot. We need to understand that grace itself gives you a new name. We're going to get a new name in the book of Revelation, but we have a new name, a new standing, and a new identity right now with the grace of God. So grace gives the believer a new identity. The next thing, grace gives the believer a new power. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So it is the same power that rose Jesus from the dead. Paul said that changing power in our life, it's the same power that took Jesus from a dead body to a live body in, you know, 3 days. So that resurrection power. That's the grace of God in our life, is that resurrection power. The law could reveal the sin, and I'm going to go over this a number of times. It could reveal sin because thou shall what? Not. Thou shall not. You got the Ten Commandments, then you got the law itself. But it could never remove it. They could never remove it. You know, the law commands righteousness. It says we need to be righteous, but it could not create righteousness in any one of us. The law could expose the problem. I think all of us, we wouldn't be sitting here today if we didn't realize that, we are sinners. We are sinners. So the law could expose the problem, but it could not supply the cure. It could not supply the cure. That's why I was saying, you know, the contrast that he has in this verse that we're studying is that he contrasts it not as good and bad, but as incomplete and complete. That's the difference with it. When Jesus came, grace and truth came with it. Actually, he is grace and truth. And grace brings power in your life. Grace brings power in your life. The more you realize the grace of God in your life, the more you're going to have that Holy Spirit power in your life also. Grace is not God lowering the standard, okay? It's not lowering the standard. Grace is God supplying the strength, right? Grace is not permission to sin. We know that. The scriptures say that. Grace is power to overcome sin. And grace does not say, got to try harder. Oh. Think about it. Shake your head yes. You know what I'm talking about, right? Try harder. I mean, I don't know how many times I've tried harder. Grace is not saying, try harder. Grace is saying, walk in my spirit. There's a big difference there. Think about this. Grace empowers through indwelling spirit. It's not outside. It's in us because we have the Holy Spirit. Jesus does not leave the believer to struggle alone. We got to understand that. When he left, he says, I'm not going to abandon you. I am going to send who? The Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit. So grace empowers us through a indwelling spirit, and that is the Holy Spirit. So Jesus does not leave the believer to struggle alone. You think a lot of times when you struggle, you don't realize he is right there with you, the Holy Spirit, trying to boost you up, trying to lift you out of temptation or depression or discouragement, all of those different things. The Holy Spirit is there, that indwelling spirit, to lift you up. He doesn't leave us alone. He even promised that to the disciples. I'm not going to leave you alone. He gives the Spirit, and the Spirit is the very life of God inside the believer. That's inside of you. It's inside of you. If God is inside of you, the grace of God is inside of you also. Jesus said, and now I took this out of the Gospel of John. John has some amazing things in there. Jesus said, the Spirit gives life, right? The Spirit gives life. And then that's in John chapter 6. And then Jesus said, you remember when he was in the temple and he says, out of the belly shall flow rivers of living waters. We should be experiencing that in our lives. That's chapter 7 of John. Jesus is describing what the Spirit's going to do. And Jesus in chapter 14, when he was talking to the disciples at the Last Supper, he says, he shall be in you. He shall be in you. And these are amazing things when you consider what God has done for us. So again, the law could tell you what to do. Grace gives you someone who helps you do it. You're not doing it, believe me. You're not. Grace also empowers by breaking sin's dominion. And I think all of us has experienced, I had some major dominion in my life of sin that God removed almost instantly when I first came to him, things that were really detrimental to my life. And then slowly over the years, you know, God is conquering things in me. But Paul says, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but you're under grace. So grace doesn't just, you know, forgive the past. It breaks the chains of the present, too. It breaks those chains. The believer is no longer a slave. He's no longer bound. He's no longer powerless, either. Grace gives the believer the ability to say no to sin and yes to God. And we know that. I mean, those are sometimes very difficult and hard choices, but grace is the thing that gives you that power. Another thing, and grace empowers in weakness. In weakness. Paul, when he was struggling with a particular problem in his life, he said that Jesus told him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Notice he doesn't say, "Hey, you know, you've done a pretty good job. I'm going to help you even more." It's in the weakness when we have no strength. We have no strength at all. You know, when you think about it, how much strength does a dead man have? Nothing, zero. And we're dead in Christ and risen in Christ to a new life. So grace meets the believer at the point of inability. Can you hear that? Inability. Your inability, that's where he meets you. And when you feel weak, grace strengthens. It strengthens. When you feel empty, grace fills. I mean, these are things that are right before us in the Word of God. You know, when you feel overwhelmed, grace sustains. There are a lot of times we go through these trials that last a long time and you get beaten down. When you're overwhelmed, you know, grace sustains you. You know, and grace is not a one-time event. You think, you know, we receive grace here and grace there, you know, or the one time you receive grace or whatever. Grace is a continual supply of divine power. Continual, all the time. Now, when you look at your own strength, the Christian life sometimes feels pretty heavy. I know what that is. But when you look at Jesus, you begin to see that grace carries what you cannot carry. Grace is not only God's pardon, it's a power working in you. There's a power working inside of you. And grace is not only mercy, it is strength meeting you in weakness, meeting you in weakness. It's not only kindness, when you think about it. And when you think you're applying this to the Christian life, when you think about kindness, it is his life. When you're kind to somebody or you love somebody, it is his power flowing through you to that person or to the people or to your wife or your husband or your children. And you also discover that grace that came through Christ, you start to notice something. There's something really interesting that you notice is that the battle that once felt impossible, it begins to shift. Not because you're stronger, it's because grace has arrived. Grace has arrived in your life. It's active, it's present, it's working in you. I don't know how many times where I think, finally made it. And then, you know, but that's not what it is that when you begin to see victories in your life, you have to recognize that is the power and the grace of God in your life. And because grace is active and it's present, it's working in you, that you begin to change. You begin to change things in your life. And things that you thought were impossible, things that you thought, I could never do that, could not be like that. All of a sudden you're like that, you have to recognize that's the grace of God in your life. So the first thing, grace gives the believer that power. Well, even before that, it gives it a new identity. I think that's really key to really think about. You're a new person. You're a new person. If you've been a Christian 30 years ago, you're a new person today. You're a new person. So grace gives the believer a new identity. It gives the believer new power. And then finally, grace gives the believer a new way to live. We have a different life than we had pre-coming to Christ. So grace gives the believer a new way to live. John 1:16 says, of his fullness we have received, and grace for grace. That's what he says. Of his fullness we have received, grace for grace. So you could say grace upon grace, or how about wave after wave? Do you ever feel the grace of God come in wave after wave in your life? But what he's saying is, of his fullness we have received, grace for grace, supply after supply after supply. There's no ending of that. And, you know, we need to recognize grace is not the beginning of a Christian life. It's the way the Christian life is lived. That's the way we live. The law says, do this and live. Grace says, live, and now you can do this. That's the difference. That's the contrast. And grace is not for a moment. It's just the new way to live in the power of God. Also, think about this. Grace teaches the believer how to live. We look at Titus chapter 2. It says, the grace of God teaches us to deny the ungodliness, worldly lust, and to live soberly, righteously, and godly. So grace is a teacher. It's a teacher. Grace disciplines the heart. Grace shapes our desires. All of us have desires that should not be. All of us have that. But grace shapes those desires to a new life. You know, the law commands holiness. That's what it does. It says, you have to be this way. It commands holiness. Grace creates holiness. That's the difference. Grace supplies what the believer needs daily. In our study of Hebrews, we remember chapter 4, verse 16. It says, when we come to the throne of grace to find grace in the time of need. That's an endless supply. He knocked down that curtain. He knocked down that curtain that blocked us from the way. And so we have this endless supply of grace in time of need. And it's not stored in the past. It's like you build it up or anything. It's always in the presence. It's always in the present. And when you wake up and your eyes pop open, grace is there. And when you feel weak, when you feel like you're not going to make it, grace is there. Grace is there. I think one of the hardest things about grace is to believe it's true. To believe it's true that God loves you, He cares about you, and He's sent the Holy Spirit into our lives to walk alongside of us. You know, whenever you face temptation, grace is there. When you walk in your calling, the calling of your life that God has called, grace is there. It's always there to meet you. Grace is God's daily provisions for God's daily purposes. Think about that. Think about what He's got you today. Like tomorrow morning, we're going to wake up and we're going to think about our day. He's got an agenda there. And grace is there to bring about those daily purposes that He would have in your life. And here's something I think is really important to understand. Grace produces a life that reflects Jesus. It reflects Jesus. John said grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So the life of grace is the life that looks like Jesus. And grace, what? It produces love that is not natural. Love that we know agape love is not natural, it's supernatural. You have forgiveness that is not deserved. We can do that to others as God has done that to us. This is what happens, the power of God in your life. You know, you are able to forgive those that are not deserved. You got strength that is not human. That is strength that is not human. It's supernatural, it's holy, and it's by Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. You have peace, and this is important to understand, that is not circumstantial, right? It's not due to your circumstances, because you can have a bad day and have the grace of God, or you can have a good day with the grace of God. It's not circumstantial. Obedience that is not forced. You guys know the whole thing. The Holy Spirit got your arm behind your back trying to. It's not forced. It's gentle. So obedience that's not forced, it comes natural. Because we entered this amazing relationship with God. Jesus says, if you love me, obey me. And that's not like, it's not like a legalistic term. It's like, if you love God, if you enter into the grace of God, you're just going to obey him. You're going to obey him. Fruit that is not manufactured. Real fruit, real Holy Spirit fruit. You know, joy, peace, love, all of those things. That is the grace of God. That is the shot, you might say, that God puts into our life because he's in us. He's in us. He lives in us. But here's the thing. Grace does not make the believer passive. I'm kind of passionate about outreach. You know, this is God in Jeff, the Holy Spirit in Jeff. So grace doesn't make us passive about things, but grace makes the believer very powerful, very powerful. Now, these are all things realized, and that's why I thought it was so important to talk about discovering grace in the Old or the New Testament, or, you know, we had the introduction. You know, grace does not make the believer careless. Grace makes us Christ-like. It makes us Christ-like. And grace does not lower the standard. A lot of people think that's what grace is. Oh, it just lowers the standard. Grace lifts the believer to God. That's the difference. So as you look at Jesus, you begin to see that grace is not the end of effort, but it's the end of self-effort. That's what it is. You guys get tired sometimes? Get tired of self-effort? You know, the bed of grace where you can just relax in the love and the grace of God. It's not the end of effort. It's the end of self-effort. And I think that's important to understand. Grace is God doing in you what you could never do for yourself. We've said that a number of times up here. I think it's an important statement. And the more you discover his grace, the more your life begins to reflect his life. Grace, man. So grace gives the believer a new way to live. So we've been talking about, and this is we're going to go into 2 Peter next week, but I thought it was really important to talk about discovering the grace of God. So grace gives the believer a new identity. Very important to understand that. Grace gives the believer a new power. Well, let me back up. That new identity. Don't ever let the devil tell you you're not his. Don't ever let the devil tell you you're not his. That's grace gives the believer a brand new identity, and we walk in that. He gives the believer a new power, and then he gives the believer a new way to live. And we live our lives through Christ. So John 1:17, it's the New Testament in one statement when you think about it. The law reveals the need. Grace supplies the power. Truth reveals the fullness. And Jesus brings it all together because he is grace and truth. You're not going after grace. You're going after Jesus. That's what you're going after. A new identity, new power, new way to live. Grace is not a doctrine to study. It's a person. It's Jesus Christ himself. It's God in the flesh. It's grace is a person to receive, and grace is a power to walk in. And we know that that's Jesus Christ. Grace in the life of Jesus flowing through his people. That's what the grace of God is. I put in one thing, and I thought it was kind of interesting because the very end of the Bible speaks about the new heavens and the new earth and all these different things that he's going to do for us. I always loved the one scripture where in Revelation 21:5 it says, "Behold, I make all things new." That's what he's done for all of us here. He's made us just brand new people. So